Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services.
Total Country Bob FM.
This is it, the Bob Almanac. A lot of pressure on me to be smoother than what it was Thursday and Friday, although I haven't heard any complaints or anything, or haven't been fined by the FCC at all, so it couldn't have been that bad. And Jesse and Roger said, we've secured a ball peen hammer. We don't have to pay almost $48 for it. He's going to give us one for free.
Wow.
Jesse from Rogers. He has a collection of, he's a collector of ball, fine, historical ball peen hammers. He might have the first ever ball peen hammer.
Let it go, Jess.
Used by some blacksmith somewhere. Today, did you do a Bob Almanac salute at all? Thursday or Friday?
I think I did.
For who?
I can't remember. I did
was
one,
it,
though.
Was it this?
Well, you don't have to look so dramatic about it. Things like this happen every day.
Was it Mitzi Gaynor?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think we did do Mitzi Gaynor.
All right, then I don't have to do it.
You better do it anyway, just because I think it was might have been the day where I was supposed to have audio and I couldn't.
I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair.
Mitzi Gaynor passed away last week. It was either Wednesday or Thursday.
And send him on his way.
Management team said she passed away peacefully, of natural causes.
She was great.
South Pacific. She played Nellie Forbush, perhaps her biggest role.
Yeah.
And she was singing and dancing in a number of Emmy-winning TV specials. You know, she was actually, that episode in 64, maybe you read this. Did you read this about her being on Ed Sullivan the same day where the Beatles made their second appearance? Not their first appearance, but their second appearance.
Well, that got probably overshadowed.
Right, just a bit. Yeah. Just a bit. It was that blonde over there. But anyway, Mitzi Gaynor. Now dead, now gone, but not forgotten at the age
certainly
of 93. Monday, October 21st, 295th day of the year, 1797, the warship Constitution was launched in Boston Harbor. You know what they call the Constitution?
Old Ironsides?
Old Ironsides. It was launched and then later had a battle with the old Guerrero, the British ship Guerrero. The Constitution in that battle was given the nickname of Old Ironsides.
So did they just take down Guerrero, I wonder?
They must have.
Yeah.
I mean, Old Ironsides isn't going to lose to Guerrero.
Right.
Which is a wimpy name for a ship, to be honest.
Did they have to rig the ship, a wheelchair for the ship, since it was Old Ironsides?
Right. Raymond Burr, when he was on there, he was a captain.
Yeah.
He's a captain now. And, Guerrero, that's just a wimpy name for a boat.
It really is.
A ship, a warship. I mean, it sounds like, the name of a butler.
Yeah.
And butlers aren't tough.
No.
Unless you're Alfred.
Bring me some tea, Guerrero. I mean, it's not working at all.
1849, the first tattooed man was put on exhibition. Tattoos were so new and so amazing. The first man to have a tattoo was actually put on an exhibition.
Yeah, he was like the circus.
He was like a sideshow at the Franklin Theater in New York City.
Right.
I mean, the first tattoos... I don't have a tattoo. I've never gotten a tattoo. I don't plan to, unless I go to prison. Then you got to get one, right?
Don't you have to?
Isn't that part of the thing?
Yeah,
so
you get a buzz cut and a tattoo.
But from what I hear, even to this day, they're still painful to get.
I've never had one either. No. Yeah, my son has.
Can you just imagine how painful 1849's tattoos were?
They were doing them with ball peen hammers dipped in ink.
So, World War I was underway this date, 1917, as much as Woody Wilson tried to keep us...
He said we weren't going in.
Out of World War I, eventually we had to do it. Yeah. So, the U.S. Army's 1st Division became the first American soldiers to do battle in World War I. The troops dug into their trenches near Nancy, France.
Nancy, France.
Yes. 1917. 1918 on this date, Margaret Owen set a typing speed record, 170 words per minute on a manual typewriter. That's a manual typewriter typing 100. What did her forearms look like? Because it's a manual. I mean, you need a ball peen hammer to pound some of those keys down and actually make an imprint on the printing ribbon to be able to read it. But 170 minutes, words per minute on this date, manual typewriter.
I thought I was flying. We had electric typewriters. We had take typewriting when we were in high school.
It was probably a Selectric.
And I was up to like 35 words a minute. I thought I was just flying.
Good. Yeah. They focused on that at Brown Institute, so you could type your news stories and your commercial copy. You had to be good. Yeah. You really did. That's where I really honed my typing skills.
Me too.
I don't think it was that good in high school. It was good enough to pass, but I think I really honed them when there was a purpose to my typing.
Sure.
There in Brown Institute. So that was the state 1918. 1959, the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum opened in New York City. Ever been to the Guggenheim? I've heard of it.
The Googs? No. Googly.
It was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. Who you know, Frank Lloyd Wright, very well, well-known architect. But really, after it was built, it really wasn't that nice. The true man, if you go there and see it now, there's only really one man that is responsible for how well and how nice the Guggenheim looks now, Neil. You know who that is?
What do you do?
I'm an architect.
Have you designed any buildings in New York?
Have you seen the new addition to the Guggenheim?
You did that?
Yep. It didn't take very long either.
Yeah, there you go. It was Art Vandelay. Actually, I think he was an Art Vandelay in that scene. That show was just on. He chooses not to run. So 1959, Guggenheim. 1967, this date. Oh, this was a pretty big date, pretty big event.
When we were just riding up the creek, Dad and Roger was taking pictures of the beautiful colors, of the fall of colors of the trees and the brush and all that. And all at once, when we come around the bend in the creek, there one stood across the creek from us. And, of course, Roger's horse just went berserk. Well, mine did too, but I was able to stay on him because, I was a pretty good rider back in.
What they're talking about, Neil? They're talking about Bigfoot.
They saw Bigfoot.
So I was a pretty good rider, and I stayed on my horse. And
great to get to the part about Bigfoot. Would you?
Finally, he didn't get actually dumped off his horse, but
enough of that. Anyway, this was the date, 1967. It was in Bluff Creek, in Northern California. That was Bob Gimlin. Bob Gimlin and Roger Patterson are the guys that came up with that Bigfoot film.
Mm.
You know, the famous one where he's kind of walking and he looks back and amongst the timber and fallen woods. And many people have said that that is a hoax, that is just a man in a suit.
Yeah.
But if it is, it still fueled the modern Bigfoot phenomenon. We would have not have had that story arc that arced two different seasons that included a Bionic Woman, $6 million man crossover.
Right.
With Bigfoot.
Thank God we had that.
Wouldn't have had Andre the Giant playing Bigfoot in the first edition, and then Ted Lindsay playing... That was his name, right? The guy who was Lurch. Lurch. Yeah. Was it Ted Lindsay?
Ted Cassidy.
Ted Lindsay was Terrible Ted.
Right.
In the NHL.
Yes.
For the Detroit Red Wings. Yeah, Ted Cassidy was then Bigfoot the second time around.
Right on.
This day, 1967. So it fueled the modern Bigfoot phenomenon. And, of course, Neil, as you know, that's a phenomenon you can fuel good about. How about 1978 here this date, 1978?
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. You've never seen a film like it. This is the incredible story of the world's ultimate disaster. Vicious man-eating tomatoes grow to monstrous proportions. Faced with this...
How do these tomatoes eat man? They don't have any mouths. They're just tomatoes rolling down the street. I don't get it. But
they just absorb them? I don't know either.
That could be. Although they have a rather pithy outer skin.
Right.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes premiered in theaters on this date. It was a cult classic.
It's not the way I want to go.
I remember we broke it down in mass media class in high school. Broke it down. Let's just say there were some unedited parts in that should have been edited, like scenes where you can clearly see the little four-wheel scooter that the tomato is riding on.
Sure.
As it's, rolling down a hallway or something.
It was a little bit maybe of a lower budget.
A very low budget, yeah. Yes, indeed. But a cult classic nonetheless. And that was Estate 1978. Let's remember Rerun.
Can you see me dancing on TV across the Golden Gate Bridge into San Francisco?
Yeah, and starting another earthquake.
Are you making fun of me being fat again?
You're not fat again. You were always fat.
And, of course, a cameo by the sarcastic D. Mm-hmm. We have Rerun passed away on this date. Fred Berry's Rerun on What's Happening played the character Rerun. He was in his, I don't know if he made it to his 60s. I know he's in his 50s, certainly. Young, that was very young, 2003. And then in the news 3 years ago.
A frightening moment on a Santa Fe movie set. Just before 2 Thursday afternoon, deputies were called to Bonanza Creek Ranch, a popular movie set for decades. There, police found two people shot during the filming of a scene on Russ, a Western-inspired movie co-produced and starring Alec Baldwin. Investigators say the scene involved the use of a prop gun.
That was 2021. That was 3 years ago that that happened.
Yeah, very sad.
And the round killed the cinematographer, Helena Hutchins, injured the director, Joel Souza. Alec Baldwin, his assistant, and the armorer were all charged. The charges were dropped on Alec Baldwin.
Right.
So they dropped the charges on actor Alec Baldwin. They did not know that this gun, which was a prop, had a live round in it.
Yeah, it's hard to know that.
Exactly. And the armorer, though, did get convicted and is doing like 18 months.
Oh, boy.
As a result. And I think they're rethinking how they handle prop guns in movies now. Because didn't the same thing happen to who was in The Crow?
Yeah. The kid. The younger of the...
The younger
Bruce
Phoenix.
Lee's kid.
Yeah, Bruce Lee's. That was it. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Jet Li? Which one of the Lees?
I don't know. I can't. I should know. I mean, how do we not know?
We need Allie's 8-year-old daughter here again. Right. Where are you? Yeah. What's
Where's
her name?
Melody?
Melody?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Back
I could really use you at this point. I'm sure she's... She's an expert. Oh, speaking of Alec Baldwin, Neil.
Yes.
I just got a notice here on the screen.
Okay.
Bob Sales meeting in 5 minutes. You do know we have a new Bob Sales
incentive
contest.
Plan?
Yes, it's new incentive contest.
What happens?
First prize,
yep.
Cadillac Eldorado.
Very nice.
Second prize, set of steak knives.
Right. Third prize?
Third prize, you're fired. That's a tough third prize. I mean, I remember.
Never gets old. I
remember.
Like it.
That'd be like track and field day in elementary. Third prize, you're suspended.
Right. Yeah. In the softball throw.
You're suspended from school.
First place, new bike.
Right.
Second place, unlimited sandwiches for your lunch. Third place,
you're suspended.
You're suspended.
Yeah. So that's going on now, and that was the state 2021, the whole Rust thing. Let's move on to birthdays now. Manfred Mann, Neil.
I like him.
That's him doing this here with the other lead singer. He's the keyboardist, so he did the keyboard on this song and all those great Manfred Mann and the Manfred Mann Wild Earth Band.
Yes.
He's 84 today. Mighty Quinn might be a song you might know.
What's his name?
Diddy. Well, his name is Manfred Mann.
This is Manfred Mann.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he wasn't the lead singer on
the
hits.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's another one of those guys.
Well, it's Manfred Mann's birthday.
Yeah, his
nice.
Real name is Manfred Sepsi Leibowitz.
Oh, boy.
But he went with Manfred Mann, probably a good choice.
Two
there.
N's on Mann.
84. Now, here's another guy who didn't sing on the hits. This is Mickey Thomas singing Fooled Around and Fell in Love.
Right.
But the band is called Elvin Bishop. It's Elvin Bishop.
Yes.
Blues rock guitarist, great songwriter, loves to sit on a bale of hay. As you know, Neil.
Yes.
Elvin Bishop sitting on a bale of hay.
Love it.
Very comfortable. And ergonomic, surprisingly.
It's a great tune.
So Elvin Bishop here today, he's 82.
You are an example of why people should have to take tests before they're allowed to have children. You're a moron.
Yeah, there you go. Judge Judy, she calls it like she sees it.
Not one to sugarcoat.
No. Judge Judy. Judy Shinlin is 82 today. Everett McGill, the actor, is 79. You like that movie Heartbreak, Neil?
Heartbreak Ridge?
Yeah, Heartbreak Ridge, exactly. Yeah, I'm familiar with it. At the video here. Yeah, so here he is.
My record of achievement thus far has been exemplary, and I fully intend for that to continue. Sir, I want this battalion to be the class of the division. I expect my non-commissioned officers to lead by example. Public fighting and insubordination to civilian authority are not what I call good standards.
It was a minor altercation, sir.
Minor altercation. It seems like Clint Eastwood in his movies always gets into a minor altercation.
Right.
There he is. He's the major going nose to nose with Clint Eastwood in Heartbreak Ridge.
Very nice. I liked that. He's a good actor. He was in something else I saw.
Do all majors in the Army and that, in movies especially, do they all have to have a Southern accent?
You should.
I think it makes it more believable.
Well, for me it does.
He was in License to Kill.
Oh, but, that's the one, the Bond movie.
Yeah. Heartbreak Ridge. Everett, Everett McGill is 79. Part of that horn section in the group Chicago, Lee Loughnane, 78 today. Let's hear it. On the trumpet. Happy birthday to him, 78. You hear a lot about this guy in the news these days. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is 75.
He's got a tough job
here
right
today.
Now.
Charlotte Caffey was in the Go-Go's. She wrote this song, Neil.
I got it.
So that makes her, she's the one who's got the beat, actually.
She does have the beat. And she wasn't afraid to show it off.
71. Those Go-Go's getting into their 70s now, Neil.
Yeah, wow.
It's hard to fathom.
I know.
Ben, what?
Be right.
Ben, you're supposed to be in bed by 9 o'clock.
I was. Nobody said anything about how I'm going to stay there.
He's Ben Seaver. He was the youngest son on Growing Pains, and then they realized, well, he wasn't cute anymore.
Right.
So they brought in a little girl.
Yep.
She wasn't cute enough. Then they brought in Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
They
kept trying.
They were jumping the shark a lot on Family. Growing Pains was the name of that one, Growing Pains. And the son there, Ben Seaver, Jeremy Miller, pushing 50 already. 48. Kim Kardashian. We don't do reality personalities much, but she's kind of the queen of reality personalities,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But no audio because I can't take her vocal fry.
That's
you
good
know
play.
Those Kardashians. They talk with that vocal fry.
Right.
I just can't take it.
Better seen than heard.
Kim Kardashian
perhaps.
Is 44.
What do we have here? If it ain't Phoenix.
Here I thought we were special, Coyote.
Turns out,
the invite went to anyone.
Fellas, this here's Bagman.
Hangman.
Whatever.
Have you seen that? Have you seen the new Top Gun?
No,
Top
I
Gun
haven't
Maverick.
Yet.
They're doing another one, so you probably should get in.
Oh, they're doing a third now.
Yeah, they're going to do a third because this one did so well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Glenn Powell, the actor, he's everywhere now. He was in Twisters. He plays that kind of arrogant role. He was basically the Iceman role in the new one. You know, that arrogant pilot that thinks he's the greatest and everything.
Right.
And then he shows his soft heart at the end. That's what he was. He was Hangman. Or she called him Bagman.
Right.
Was it Bagman or Bangman? I can't remember. What. It could be either. They
whatever.
Both good fit. Glenn Powell is 36. And Neil, are you familiar with Doja Cat?
Ooh. Oh, I've heard of Doja Cat.
Doja
I didn't
Cat.
Really know what it was.
Singer.
It's a her.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know it's a her.
29 today. Got to keep up with the modern stuff here, too, on the Almanac. Got to change with the times.
Really. I know. I'm trying.
They're putting some Doja Cat in there.
I'm not really trying.
29 for Doja Cat.
Gone, but not forgotten. The guy has a prize named after him. Alfred Bernhard Nobel. Scientist and philanthropist, even better. And he was born on this. I knew it had been around for a while. I didn't realize that he was born on this day in 1833. Country Music Hall of Famer, Owen Bradley. You may not know the name, but you would know some of the people that he helped work and discover. And they include Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn. And there are others. A couple of big names certainly there. Owen Bradley, born on this day, 1915. Grammy award-winning jazz musician. He played the trumpet where the horn part went straight up in the air. And he had the big blown out cheeks. Dizzy Gillespie, 1917. Talented, and he had a style. Oh. Is it hard to watch, or is it almost comical? It's weird.
It's weird. Not just his cheeks, but his entire neck fills with air.
Everything fills out.
Which, I mean, that's like having an air compressor where you fill it with air, then you go out to the farm field to fill your tire.
Right.
I mean, he could do that. You could blow up tires.
He probably could.
Yeah.
So there he is, Dizzy Gillespie, born on this day. And now his real name, in case I know you're scoring at home, it's John Burks Gillespie. And then he went with Dizzy, which is fine. Also gone, but certainly not forgotten today, she was one of our favorites. She was Trixie, Ed Norton's lovely wife on The Honeymooners, real name Joyce Randolph, 1924.
Both of those guys outkicked their coverage.
Way outkicked. I'm still hoping.
Same thing with Barney and Fred.
Yeah.
Well, on second thought, I better make that coconut cake. Why? Ralph's crazy about chocolate cake. That's just it. I bought him a new belt for his birthday, and I want to make sure it fits the day after. Oh. Well, you could always exchange it for a larger size. There is no larger size.
Hi-yo.
Trixie and Alice.
They had some fine conversations about their two outstanding husbands. If you're married to Jackie Gleason and Ed Norton, you have unlimited material to choose from. So there we go with Joyce Randolph, 1924. One of the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time has to be Whitey Ford. He won 236 games, a lot of years, six-time World Series champion. But, Jim, his career earned run average, 2.75. That's pretty good. Whitey Ford, born on this day, teammates with Mickey Mantle and
he was getting a lot
Roger
of run
Maris
support,
and,
too.
Yes, he was, and that does help. Born on this day, 1928. And then, I know one of your favorites, being a big Star Wars fan, she will always be Princess Leia, right? Or Leia? Is it Leia or Leia?
Princess Leia.
Leia. Mm-hmm. Carrie Fisher, 1956.
You must see this droid safely delivered to him on Alderaan. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
You know who's an even bigger Star Wars fan? Matt Montana.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I've never noticed this when I've seen them play live, and maybe he just did this time around, but he had a Princess Leia action figure at the Shania Garth thing, because my wife was there. She sent me a picture. He has a Princess Leia action figure strapped to his mic stand, and he has a Darth Vader guitar strap. So.
Wow. Yeah, I know he's a big fan.
You know, help me, Hitchville. You're my only hope. You know, something.
Did she enjoy the show?
Yes, it was outstanding. Yeah, the Garth and Shania show was. Her and a friend went, and they loved it.
I have seen it a couple of times, and it is very, very solid. So there, Carrie Fisher, born on this day, 1956. She was in other things, too, besides the Star Wars stuff, of course. But that's where I know. And sadly, we lost her way too early. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
That iconic bikini in Return of the Jedi.
Top shelf.
Neil, you've probably never seen it.
Oh, I have.
Oh, you have seen it. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm excited that you have.
I've seen the Star Wars, the first one, and The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
And there might be one other one I've seen.
All right. Your enthusiasm is noted.
Yeah.
Would you like to start a Bobathon with Alabama, 40-hour week? Mm-hmm. Brad Paisley, I'm Still a Guy.
Right.
Or Modern Day Romance with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
It seems fitting that we're on Alabama since we're starting the 40-hour week.
Let's go.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDDG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud, KDGY, Faribault, KLCI, Elk River, KLCI, HD1, Elk River, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Bob FM. Broadcast.